Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, we have a bit of a smaller crowd today. I was kind of expecting that. I know it is Father's Day, and a lot of people have plans, and some people are out for other reasons too, but that's all right, because we're just going to worship the Lord and study His Word like we always do, and praise the Lord. Jesus told us that wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we've got more than that today. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be singing some songs and we're going to worship the Lord. And before we do that, though, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy holy name. We thank Thee for this opportunity to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, would be upon each and every one of us this morning. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst have an impact on our lives, that Thou wouldst change us for the better. We pray this in Jesus' name for the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Now, what I'd like to do, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, to start off with, I'd like to go to number 107, Glory to His Name.
So rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul.
glory to God. And it is good to worship and praise the Lord and glorify His name. Glory to God. Well, what I'd like to do now is go to number 30, Standing on the Promises. Promises He's given us so many, but among those promises is a promise that he would send that comforter, the Holy Ghost. And we lay hold on that promise today. In fact, that's something we're going to be looking at a little bit later when we get into the Word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go over to number 71, Joy Unspeakable. Presence of the Lord. Really, that's so true. The half of it hasn't been told yet. Just imagine that unspeakable joy we'll see, we'll feel when we see Him face to face. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why don't we go to number 190, Still Sweeter Every Day.
Yeah. miracle and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. Oh, can we fancy this light of golden shore? Oh, there can be still sweeter than he ever was before. My heart is sometimes heavy, but he comes with sweet relief. He folds me to his bosom when I cope with light and grief. I love the Christ who all my burdens in his body bore. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before.
With the Lord, it just keeps getting better and better. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I think what we'll do now is take up our collection. Doug, if you could do that for us, that'd be great. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and offerings. We ask, God, for thy inspiration and thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose and thy glory. We ask, God, that thou wast blessed the giver and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen. Well,
glory to God. Well, why don't we sing one more? Before we get started with our study, why don't we go to number 8, showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy comes from the sun falling, but for the showers we keep. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy comes from the sun falling, but for the showers we plead.
Praise the Lord. We are going to be getting into the Word shortly, but before we do that, there are a couple things we should pray about. I guess Diane and Barb's dad is in the hospital. He needs prayer for salvation and healing. And according to this note I have, his name is Jerry, so we're going to pray for that. And also, my Uncle Gordon, my dad's brother, he passed on this morning about 5 o'clock, so I'm sure the whole family there could use prayer for uplifting and comfort. So we're going to pray about these things before we get started in the Word. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer, beseeching thee, thy mercy and thy grace. We come before you in prayer for Diane and Barb's father. We know that he is not doing well and that his time on earth may be coming to a close. We know that this is in thy hands. We pray for his complete healing. We pray that if it is thy will, that he would be healed of all his illness, of everything that is wrong. But more importantly, O Lord, we pray that thou would save his soul, that thou would move upon him, that thou would use Diane and Barb as a witness to him, that he would seek thee with a whole heart and come before thee in repentance. We pray this in Jesus' name, for the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer, praying for the Pohlmeier family, for Aunt Joyce, for Rick and Tracy. We pray that thou wouldst give them comfort in this time of sorrow and mourning. Pray that thou wouldst lift thy spirits up and draw them close to thee. We know how difficult it is to lose a loved one, Lord, but we know that thou art the source of all comfort and love. We pray that thou wouldst be with them, help them, and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, for the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. What we're going to be doing today, we're going to go into the Word now. And I'm just waiting to see if there's going to be a signal up there. Ah, there we go. Praise the Lord. What we're going to do today, we're going to start in on the book of Acts. And what I'm planning to do, if the Lord wills it, is go through the entire book in the coming weeks. I think that will be wonderful, because the book of Acts is a very, very exciting book. We know that it describes the early history of the church. And that is our legacy. It is that same church, this same church, that continues to this day. We're part of that same church that was back there. So it's wonderful to see what was happening back there and what could be happening here. Praise the Lord. So what I'd like to do is start out in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And of course, we know that the book of Acts was written by the same man who wrote the Gospel of Luke. It's kind of like a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, really. It goes on to describe how Jesus worked in the hearts of his apostles. It's a very exciting book. There's a lot in here. I'm not sure how many chapters we're going to do today, but possibly 2 or 3. And I'm guessing, I don't know for sure how long this series will take, but I'm guessing it'll be 7 to 10 weeks. But this is a very exciting book, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to show us. All right, starting in the book of Acts, chapter 1, it tells us, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Now, what he means by that former treatise is the Gospel of Luke. That's what he's referring to there in verse 1. Well, you know what? I think I actually forgot to pray, probably because we had that other prayer. But we'll go ahead and do that right now before I go any further, because I know that without the Lord's help, I can't do anything. And I want to pray that the Lord blesses this message. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer once again, asking for thy blessing on this message, asking for thy anointing, asking for thy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to flow upon each and every one here in this building today, and those who are listening online, and those who may hear it again later. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Spirit would dwell within us, that thou wouldst inspire us, that these words would come alive in our hearts. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, now we can continue on. I'll read verse 1 again. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." And we're going to see a theme in the book of Acts, and that is the working of the Holy Ghost. All throughout the book of Acts, we're going to see how the Holy Ghost moved upon these early Christians and how it can also move upon us even to this day. Verse 3, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And of course, what this is referring to, after Jesus' resurrection, he was seen there on the earth by many witnesses for 40 days. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that he was seen by over 500 individuals. So there were many witnesses to the fact that Jesus had been resurrected. Verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." And, you know, we sang about the promises of God earlier. And one of those promises is that we will receive the Holy Ghost. And this is being confirmed right here. Jesus is telling them to wait for that promise of the Father. Verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So that is the promise which he was referring to, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" You know, it's interesting. Even after all that had happened, they still didn't quite understand what Jesus had come to do. He didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. He came to set up a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom that resides in our hearts. Verse 7, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You know, there is great power in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost enables us to discern and understand things that we could not otherwise discern and understand. The Holy Ghost will bring forth miracles in our lives. There is great power in the Holy Ghost. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So we see here that Jesus Christ is ascending into heaven. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." And those must have been angels. Verse 11, "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we see there another promise, the promise that our Lord Jesus Christ will return in the same manner which he ascended from heaven. And that's a promise we can lay hold on. That's a promise we can embrace. Jesus is coming back. And what a glorious and wonderful day that will be. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. So they were all there, all of the disciples. Of course, we know that Judas Iscariot was not there because he betrayed Jesus. And he had a very unpleasant fate, which we're about to read about in these forthcoming verses. These all continued with one accord and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You know, this is actually an important verse, because what this tells us is that if you want the Holy Ghost to flow, we all need to be in one accord. We all need to have our hearts longing and seeking after Jesus, longing for that promise, embracing that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it's so very important that we are all in one accord here as the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, so there were about 120 there. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So we see there was a very unpleasant fate for Judas Iscariot. Of course, that's the way the devil treats his people. Even those who serve him best, they all have a very unpleasant fate. Verse 19, and it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So we see that prophecy actually came to pass. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So what they're doing here, they're determining who should be ordained the successor, the replacement for Judas Iscariot. And initially picked two candidates, tells us in verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. And we know that God sees the hearts of all men. There's nothing that we can hide from the Lord. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what's on our hearts. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So they determined that it was Matthias who had been chosen by the Lord to serve as the replacement for Judas. And he was numbered with the 11, so once again there were 12 apostles. And what we're going to do now is go into chapter 2 of Acts, which is very exciting. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And of course, yeah, I know my wife would say, you say that about all the chapters, but I do love Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 tells us, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There again we see that they were all in one accord. You know, if you want the Holy Ghost to fall, we all must be in one accord. So there's no hindrance to the Spirit of God flowing. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And, you know, that's interesting too. That actually happened here once. You know, it wasn't a windy day or anything, but all of a sudden a wind came up and shook the building, and that was the Spirit of God, that was the Holy Ghost. So everything we read about here in Acts chapter 2, those same things can happen today. Actually, everything we're going to read about in the book of Acts. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that, you know, that is the evidence that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And, you know, you never quite know when that's going to happen, how God will move upon people sometimes. I remember one time I was driving in my car, and, you know, I all of a sudden I just started singing in tongues, and, you know, it went on for quite some time, and it's really something when the Lord just takes control of your mouth like that. There's really no way to describe it. It's an indescribable feeling. And I am so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So this was a great miracle that was taking place. The Holy Ghost had fallen on these men. They were speaking in other tongues. They were speaking in languages they had never learned. And they were magnifying, worshiping, and praising the Lord. Oh, it must have been a wonderful, wonderful day there at Pentecost. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So they could see that this was something very unusual. These men shouldn't have known these languages. In fact, they didn't know those languages, but that didn't prevent them from worshiping God in those languages. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in all the parts and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues in the wonderful works of God. And I'm sure it was a beautiful thing to hear all those voices lifted up, praising and worshiping God. Praise the Lord. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And that's so true. You know, any time there's a move of the Spirit, any time God is working, a lot of times there'll be mockers and scoffers who rise up. That still happens to this day, but, you know, that's okay. They'll learn their lesson one way or another someday. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. You know, it's just morning time. These men They weren't drunken, and, you know, if they had been drunken, they probably wouldn't have been speaking in perfect language and worshiping God. That's probably one of the dumbest theories ever put forth by men. For these are not drunken, as he supposed, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. If you want salvation, you've got to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. It's the only way. Praise the Lord. But we see here this prophecy being fulfilled. And of course, there's so much in there. It tells us in verse 17 that it refers to it as the last days, which is interesting because we know that back then already it was considered the last days. And if we were considered close to the return of our Savior back then, we're just that much closer now. I know the scoffers and mockers might look at that and say, well, this happened about 2,000 years ago and Jesus still hasn't come back yet. But, you know, 1,000 years is as one day to the Lord, so it's by God's reasoning, which is far above our own. It has only been the equivalent of a couple of days since Jesus was here on earth walking those dusty fields of Galilee. Praise the Lord. But there's many wonderful promises here in this prophecy. Promises that the Holy Ghost would be poured out, that young men would see visions, old men would dream dreams. The Spirit would be poured out on servants and handmaidens, and that there would be wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. And there are wonders in heaven, even to this day, and signs. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And we know that it prophesies that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And that will be a great and notable day. But for many people, it'll be a very tragic day. For if they have not called upon our Savior, the Lord, they will not be saved. I'll read verse 21 again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. You know, what happened to Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, none of that was a surprise. That was preordained, that was foreordained. In fact, you can read prophecies of it going all the way back to the book of Genesis. And we know that Jesus rose again from the dead because the grave could not hold him. It wasn't possible. It wasn't possible because the wages of sin is death, but Jesus had no sins of his own. He took our sins upon himself, but those sins couldn't keep him in the grave because they weren't his. Praise the Lord. So the grave could not contain him, and he rose victorious from that grave. And with that resurrection is the promise that we too can be resurrected. That's something we looked at in depth last week, and I am so thankful for that promise too. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And of course, by hell there, it's not referring to the hell we usually think of when we hear that word. It's referring to the grave. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And there is great joy in the Lord.
Oh, yes,
he really is the only true source of unsustainable joy. Ever sustainable joy, rather. Complete and total joy in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David that is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And again, the word hell there is referring to the grave. And Jesus didn't go to hell. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And of course that was quite a sermon that Peter had preached that day. And he preached a lot of good ones. We'll be looking at some of the other ones in the book of Acts too. I'm very excited to be going through this book because there are so many wonderful things. Verse 37 tells us, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, that is the response, that is the reaction that we need to have when we become aware of our sins, when we realize that we are sinners, that we've done wrong. That should prick us in our hearts. But there's instructions here on what to do. These men wanted to know. They were pricked. So they were asking, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38 tells us, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You know, this is one of the most crucial verses in the Bible, and every word in here is important. But I thought it was kind of interesting this morning. I decided to go online, and I printed off a short comparison of Acts 2:38. We just read that in the King James, and we see there it's a very wonderful and awe-inspiring verse. But there's a problem in some of these other versions on how they rendered this verse. Of course, we know that the NIV, the New International Version, is very popular. And the way that verse reads in the NIV, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, for those who aren't real knowledgeable about the scriptures, they might think, well, that sounds fine. It's pretty close to what it says in the King James, but there are actually drastic differences there. And we're going to look at a couple of the other versions, too, how they present that verse. Another popular Bible version right now is one called The Message. And honestly, I think of all of them, this is the one I can stand the least. It bothers me because they really dumb it down. But they changed Acts 2:38 in that one quite significantly. In The Message, the verse reads as, Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, one of the problems with that verse there, it says change your life instead of repent. And, you know, yes, repenting is changing your life, but changing your life isn't necessarily repenting. So that's quite a serious omission. And, of course, there's the New Living Translation. And the way they have Acts 2:38, it says, Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of interesting because I have all of these different versions. They're printed side by side. And the first one I have printed out, it's the King James. And underneath that it says, public domain. But underneath the others, we see copyright notices, used by permission. That's what it says. So you have to have permission to use the Word of God. No, the Word of God is not bound. But the major problems with the way these verses are rendered, it says, repent and be baptized, and then they say, for the forgiveness of your sins. Forgiveness and remission of sins is not the same thing. The word remission indicates that a debt has been paid, a debt that was paid on the cross of Calvary when Jesus took our sins upon himself. He made a remittance. He paid the debt. It's possible to forgive a debt without making a remittance, without paying the debt. So they're leaving that part of the gospel out by saying forgiveness of sins instead of remission of sins. And then they like to say Holy Spirit instead of Holy Ghost. Now we know that God's Spirit is holy, and it's okay to use Holy Spirit. But in Acts 2:38, it's very important that it says Holy Ghost. Because a ghost is the spirit of one who has died. And by saying Holy Ghost, you are bearing testament to the fact that Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. So that's much more succinct and accurate than just saying Holy Spirit. So that's why I'm going to stick with the King James. I just thought that was kind of interesting, the way some of those other versions present it. They leave some very important things out. I'll read verse 38 again. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't that sound better? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that's a promise we can lay hold on today, because that's a promise for us just as much as it was for them back there. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. That includes us. Amen. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And that was an untoward generation back then, and it is an untoward generation today. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know, you don't see a lot of that these days. That must have been a wonderful thing to see 3,000 souls baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It must have taken a while. I was so happy just to do three last week. That was wonderful to see. And hopefully we'll have more baptisms here in the near future. So that was a wonderful thing to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. But this must have been remarkable to see 3,000 souls. Yeah. And that must have taken a while. It must have taken great patience. But they did it. Praise the Lord. You know, you don't see a lot of that these days. I know Joel Osteen, he has these big gatherings, and of course he charges an admittance fee. I guess he just had a big one the other day over at Yankee Stadium in New York, and you know, they probably sold most of the tickets. I don't know. I did remember reading that scalpers were selling tickets to the event for $850. So I don't know why anyone would want to pay that for something like that. I mean, Joel Osteen, I don't know if all of you are familiar with him, but to me, I don't really even consider him a preacher. He's really more of a motivational speaker than anything. And it's kind of interesting because he just recently went over to the Vatican and met with the Pope. And he thought the Pope was wonderful. But, there are still big gatherings of people, such as those events there at Yankee Stadium, but I don't think they're baptizing anyone in Jesus' name. So this must have been quite an event back there. Praise the Lord. It must have been wonderful and remarkable to see. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So this was a wonderful time for the Christian church. Many thousands were being saved, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thankfully, we're still baptizing people today. And anyone out there who has truly repented of your sins, if you would like to be baptized in Jesus' name, if you come here, we'll baptize you. Just as long as you've truly repented of your sins, and as long as you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. Now, we see here in this chapter, in Acts chapter 2, that there is a promise of the Holy Ghost being poured out upon His people. And we see that happening there. And we can have that same Holy Ghost. But some might wonder, just what is this Holy Ghost that's being spoken of here? And to clarify that, I would like to go to John chapter 14. We're going to learn just what the Holy Ghost is. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to tell us about that Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, verse 1, it tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So we see that promise again, that Jesus Christ will come again and receive him unto himself, that we may be where he is. It says that where I am, there ye may be also. And I greatly look forward to that precious day. Verse 4. "And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we see, if you want to know the Father, you must go through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can't know God unless you know Jesus Christ, for he is our mediator. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And I love the way Jesus answers Philip here. He said, "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So this verse is pretty clear. You know, Philip asked Jesus to show us the Father. And Jesus, you know, he said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? So he's saying to him, you don't recognize who I am. You don't understand that I am the Father. I have the Spirit of the Father dwelling inside of me. I and my Father are one. The Scriptures tell us that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ entirely. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And of course, we know that promise is sure too, as long as we don't ask amiss, as long as we don't ask for foolish things, as long as our requests are within the will of God. But here is a promise from Jesus that there will be great and mighty works that we could do too, thanks to the Holy Ghost that he would send upon us. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And of course, that's a very crucial verse in the Scriptures too. There are a lot of people out there who say they love Jesus, but we show that love by obeying our Lord, by keeping his commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So what is this comforter he's speaking of? This Spirit of truth he's speaking of? This Spirit that he tells us will dwell inside of us and shall be in you. What is that? Well, it tells us right here in verse 18. In verse 18, it tells us exactly what the Holy Ghost is. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we see here in this verse that the Holy Ghost is the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Comes to dwell in our hearts. It's very clear. He tells us, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I know a lot of people get confused about that, but the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will manifest myself to him. So if we truly love Jesus, as we say we do, we will keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments, he sends that Comforter, that Spirit of truth, that Holy Ghost. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Praise the Lord, what a promise that is. Jesus Christ has promised that he will make his abode in our hearts. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. A really easy way to tell if someone loves the Lord Jesus or not is that person keeping his sayings. Is this person keeping the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the evidence that we love the Lord Jesus. We keep his words. We obey his commandments. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that truly is amazing, the way the Holy Ghost moves upon us and calls to mind scriptures just when we need them most, brings them to our remembrance. But we see here that this chapter is very clear. Jesus said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And then in verse 26 it tells us, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. You see, it's sent in the name of the Lord Jesus because it is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that peace that comes in our heart, we get that from the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many things going wrong in this world, and I'm sure I'll be writing about that all very soon in the next newsletter. There's so much going on, I'm not sure I'll be able to fit everything in there. But despite all of that, we can have peace in our hearts if we have the Holy Ghost in our hearts. That's really the only way to be truly at peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So we see here that promise that Jesus made that day, it came to pass. In Acts chapter 2, that Comforter, that Holy Ghost, that Spirit of Jesus Christ, it fell upon them at Pentecost. And even more souls were saved after Peter preached that message. Thousands, in fact. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a little time yet. Maybe we'll go into Acts chapter 3 and continue on. Acts is a very exciting book. And we're going to see just what can happen when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So there was this man here, and he was lame. In fact, he had never walked. He was lame from his mother's womb. And he had this routine. He would go and lay by the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful. And he would ask alms, because being lame, he didn't really have a way to work effectively. So he needed to ask alms of people, and sometimes people would obviously give him money. And Peter and John just happened to be going by there one day. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. So this man was probably expecting to get a few coins from Peter and John. But he was about to get something far better. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And something he did receive. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, Peter and John weren't wealthy men. It tells us here, silver and gold have I none, which just goes to show that Peter could not have possibly been the first pope, because he said, silver and gold have I none. But we see here that this man is getting something far better than silver or gold. For through the power of the Holy Ghost that was dwelling in Peter and John, this man was about to rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And that's another miracle too, because this man had never walked before. He had been lame from his mother's womb. He couldn't walk up until this point. And we know that when a newborn is born, they can't walk at first. They get a little older and they eventually start walking, but they have to learn how to do that first. First they crawl, then they slowly learn to walk. But this man, who had never walked before, he leaped up. He was walking and leaping and praising God. That is a miracle. He had never walked before. And under ordinary circumstances, you have to learn to walk. But the Holy Ghost was working greatly in these men that day. And that's why he could walk and leap, having never learned to walk before. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened with him. You know, when you see something like that, you have to marvel at it. But things like that can happen. They can still happen today through the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember Dad telling many stories, and I know he had been to New York several times, and I recall him telling the story of how one man came to one of the meetings they were having in New York. He came in on crutches and walked out without them. Praise the Lord. God still heals today, and we can still have miracles today. Praise the Lord. So these people saw what just happened, and that, of course, that was a great witness. And they were wondering how this could be. They were full of amazement and filled with wonder. It tells us in verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So they were greatly wondering at this. They were wondering what was going on. How could this be? They knew this man. It was his routine. He'd go to the beautiful gate and he would ask alms of people. But suddenly this man was walking and leaping and praising God. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? You know, when God does something, we can never take the credit for it. And Peter understood that. He was giving all glory to God for this great miracle that had been wrought. And Peter is about to preach another wonderful sermon. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. And we know from the Gospels that Pilate was determined to let Jesus go because he found no fault in him. And we know that Jesus had no fault. But the angry mob, they wanted blood. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And finally Pilate relented. Verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That, of course, is referring to Barabbas. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And, you know, that's the thing. The grave cannot contain the Prince of Life. Praise the Lord. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This was a great miracle. This man had never walked a day in his life, and now he was walking and leaping and praising God. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And you know, when you repent of your sins are blotted out. Your sins will no longer condemn you. Praise the Lord. And he said, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And of course we know that Moses was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, just as the Lord Jesus brings us out of the spiritual Egypt in the world today. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You know, all throughout the scriptures, going all the way back to Genesis, continuing on through all the prophets, you can read of Jesus Christ and what he would do and what he has done. Those prophecies have been fulfilled. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And all of the kindreds of this earth have been blessed. We were blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ by what he has done for us, by the fact that he went to the cross to bear our sins, that he died on that cross, and rose again after 3 days and three nights in that grave. And now he has given us his Spirit, that Comforter, the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of us. That is how the kindreds of the earth were blessed and are blessed to this day. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's what Jesus came to do, to turn us away from our iniquities so that we might be saved. Praise the Lord. Those are wonderful chapters. We'll continue on with the book of Acts next week. I'm already looking forward to next week because I love this book. It's so exciting. There's so many things we're going to read, and it will be wonderful. Praise the Lord. But we see in those first two chapters, a promise of the Holy Ghost was poured out on men back there at the day of Pentecost. And we can lay hold on that promise today. We can have that Holy Ghost in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy many promises. We thank thee for thy Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit, thy Spirit, which thou hast sent. We ask, O God, that thy Spirit, thy Holy Ghost, would dwell in each and every one of us, that thou wouldst move upon us, that thou wouldst have an impact on our lives, that these words would sink down deeply into our hearts, that we would embrace them, embrace thy scriptures, embrace thy promises, Lord. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us throughout this day and in the coming weeks ahead. We pray for this church, that thy Spirit, thy Holy Ghost, would move greatly upon each and every one of us, and that we would all be in one accord, according to thy purpose, thy glory, and thy will. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord, and we'll close with a chorus, as usual. We'll sing number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. He won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you are dismissed unto prayer.
Lord.